The Supreme Court hears arguments today about a relatively new law enforcement technique. It lets police tap into databases kept by big tech companies to find out who was near the scene of a crime and may have been involved. So, is that ingenious, Orwellian, or both? And ultimately, is it constitutional? Here's NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
The technique is called geofencing. It allows the government to draw a virtual fence around a geographic area where a crime was committed. After that, the government seeks a warrant, not to search a home or office, but to require a tech company to search its data to identify any of its millions of users who were within the geofence line at the time of the crime. The geofencing in today's case relied on a Google feature called location history. Every 2 minutes, on average, the Google feature recorded where you were by using multiple information sources to pinpoint and record the location of every person with an active cell phone. In other words, if you were within the geofence and your phone was not turned off completely, Google could tell quite precisely where you were any moment of the day and night. Although Google has modified some of its geofencing policies, at the time this case began in 2019, about one-third of all Google users, some 500 million people, voluntarily opted into using the service, which also stored the user's information in Google's cloud and could be accessed by law enforcement under a Google policy that required a warrant. Stanford Law Professor Oren Kerr.
This was a little bit of an investigative lottery ticket when they had no other way of finding a suspect.
The focal point of today's case is the Fourth Amendment ban on unreasonable searches of people, their homes, papers, and effects unless police obtain a warrant. Michael Dreeben served in the Justice Department for 31 years, and during much of that time was the Deputy Solicitor General who argued criminal cases before the Supreme Court.
The court has, since the early 20th century, grappled with the problem of what to do with advancing technology that shrinks the area of privacy that the Fourth Amendment was intended to protect. It has uniformly favored privacy interests.
In numerous cases, he observes,
the court concluded that in the modern era, it was indispensable to protect privacy of locational information derived from cell phones to avoid an arbitrary and Big Brother dragnet-type surveillance by the government.
Today's geofencing case is the latest clash between privacy and law enforcement. It involves a bank robbery in the small Virginia town of Midlothian, where an armed robber stole $195,000 and then fled. Police immediately interviewed witnesses and reviewed the bank's surveillance footage, where they saw the man who appeared to be the thief talking on his cell phone. But after 2 months of working the case, all leads had gone dry, so police applied for a geofence warrant directed at Google and all its collected and stored cell phone location information. A state magistrate judge found probable cause to issue a warrant that authorized the disclosure of Google's location information around the bank for an area three times the size of a football field. In other words, police could see who was where in the geofenced area at the time of the heist, an hour before and after the robbery took place. Google initially identified 19 cell phone users as potential suspects, but the company did not identify those individuals by name. In fact, Google pushed back and ultimately agreed to unmask the identities of just three, including Okello Chatri, who subsequently was arrested. Of course, geofencing can sweep up lots of completely innocent people, and critics warn that geofencing could be used by the government to spy on law-abiding citizens, engaging in, among other things, lawful protests and political activity. Dreeben, the Justice Department veteran, acknowledges that in this case, lots of innocent people were driving to and from places within the geofence line.
They may have been going to church. They may have been seeing a psychiatrist. They may have been visiting a lover. And they are swept up in the geofence.
But he adds that geofencing can be really helpful, as it was after the January 6th Capitol riot, when federal law enforcement officers used geofencing to figure out which demonstrators clashed with police and invaded the Capitol, as opposed to those who were peaceably walking on the Capitol grounds. Today in the Supreme Court, the Trump administration will tell the justices that because cell phone users voluntarily opted into the Google location history feature, they waived any reasonable expectation of privacy. Countering that argument, lawyer Adam Unikowski, representing the defendant.
So we argue in this case that the warrant was unconstitutional because it allowed the government to search every single person's account for evidence of crime, which is a little bit like searching every single person's house.
The government replies that it's only searching one place, Google. But Unikowski maintains that to find a needle in the Google haystack, Google had to sift through hundreds of millions of accounts. And that, he argues, is a dragnet, not a targeted search authorized by a judge.
They say that if you put data on the cloud, you've just given it away to the cloud service voluntarily, and therefore it's fair game for the government to come and get it. If that's true, then a lot of data that we thought was safe really wasn't.
Michael Dreeben summarizes the counterpoint of view.
Here the government's view is that Google is the place to be searched. It is Google's servers that have the information that the government is requesting. The government had therefore reason to believe that if this individual had opted into Google's location history, this would be a way to solve the crime.
Ultimately, he says, the court will have two basic questions to answer. First, whether a geofence warrant is covered by the Fourth Amendment at all. And second, whether the millions of people who voluntarily signed up to have their location data stored for them essentially gave up any right to privacy. A decision in the case is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.